to be in the house of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we come to you this morning again to worship you. Lord, we thank you that you're the God that loves us. You're a God that has saved us, has cared for us. You provide for us in many ways today, and we worship you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins, to forgive us our sins, and to give us a hope of heaven. Thank you, Father, for the realities, that which we know and that which we can stand upon, that which we can build our lives upon today. Lord, as we wait before you, Lord, we have a few crumbs here to share, and as we share this word, we pray that you would multiply it to the hearts of the people, that we could together be edified, be encouraged, and that our lives can be motivated to be more what you want us to be. We commit ourselves to you this day. We bless you in Jesus' precious name. This morning, we want to try to encourage us to adjust our focus this morning as we go through life. You know, our life is always we have certain things that we focus on. And it has a big effect on how things turn out. And the title of my message this morning, it says, Living Our Life with Joyful Anticipation. And I like the definition of that word, anticipation. I like what one definition said. It said, excitement, waiting eagerly for something you know is going to happen. Looking forward with pleasurable expectation. You know, looking forward is something that's very important in the Christian walk. The devil likes us to, he tries to get our attention on the situations right now and the situations back there. But when we keep our focus on the future, we keep our focus on that which is out ahead, that which is before us, I believe it motivates us to continue on and to live in a progressive mode, in a overcoming mode as we walk. I'm sharing this message out of my own personal experience because I find in myself that a tendency to, especially I guess at my age, I have a lot of memories. I have a lot of things back there, and I could spend a lot of time just dwelling on the past, thinking about the past. Things good and things bad. And I find that I have to discipline myself at times to focus on the future, because there is where the solidness is. There is where the things are that we know. I like what it says here, waiting eagerly for something you know is going to happen. You know, there's a lot of things in life that might happen. There's a lot of things that could happen. But there are some things that we know is going to happen. What are some things that you know is going to happen? Tell me. Somebody tell me. Calvin. Pardon? We won't stay here. Amen. We're going to go. We're going to go one of these days. We know it's going to happen. It's not a question. we're going to die or Jesus is going to come. And that's something that's, it's not something that might happen. It's not something that could happen. It's something that's going to happen. We know that's going to happen. And anybody else have something that you can think of that you know it's going to happen? What's that?
Death and taxes.
Okay. Yeah, well, and we know that Jesus went to prepare us a place. We know that Jesus is in heaven, and we know he has provided a place for us. And we know that we'll be with him in heaven one day as we continue and as we look forward and continue to walk with him. And this, I believe, is reason for joyful anticipation, that as we live our days, that we can keep that vision before us. We keep that vision where the outcome will be, and don't get bogged down by the circumstances and the situations that get frustrating to us in our everyday walk of life. Life can be frustrating. Life can be discouraging. Life can be heavy. But when we look beyond, we look at the reality of our life with him throughout all of eternity, it gives us courage to rise up and to continue on and to fight the battle, to walk in victory, to be an overcomer, to be what he wants us to be. Turn with me to for a text at Hebrews chapter 12, a few verses. That I would like to read. Hebrews 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction for sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." You see, Jesus, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He had a joyful anticipation, that of looking forward. He knew his God was going to take care of him. He knew what his calling was. He knew that he was here to save a people. He was here to save the people from their sins. And he had to look beyond. He had to look into the future. He had to look into the reality of redemption in order to take courage to continue on, to go through the sufferings, the things that he suffered, for the joy that was set before him. And that this morning is a challenge for all of us, that we see the joy that is set before us, the blessing, the beauty, the holiness, the righteousness, the eternal life, the reality of our presence with God. It gives us courage to rise up, to go on, to continue, to keep our focus on him. And I find in my personal walk, I find that when I get bogged down, when I get tempted, when I get discouraged, it's usually because I allow my heart to be drawn back toward the things of today or to the things of the past. We allow those kind of things to pull us down. But when we look at Jesus, we look at the future, we look at our goal of heaven, we look at the joy that is set before us, it brings courage, it brings life, it brings power into my life. It gives us courage to experience God's power and blessing and reality. Again, and I just find I have to focus myself over and over to look beyond the circumstances and situations of today and find my courage and my hope in Jesus and in heaven and that which lies before us. Here it says, truly, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. That's the sad story that if we dwell on those things of the past, there's that thing of wanting to return back to those things. Back to those things of the flesh, those things of ourself, those things of sin, there's that drawing of the flesh to go back to those things. If we keep focusing on that kind of thing, that's where it's going to take us. But when we keep our focus on heaven, we keep our focus on Jesus, we keep our focus on the realities of God, we find life, we find courage, we find grace to go on. But here's another, it wasn't quite finished reading, it said, now they desire, I think I have the wrong page here. Oh, this was in Hebrews chapter 11. That's what I wanted to read. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the children of those of faith, examples of faith. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. See, they had this vision. They saw the promises of God afar off. And that's what kept them going. It says, we having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. That's the only way we can live that kind of a life of a stranger and pilgrim here. Is if we see that there are promises, there's a promise out before us, there's a life before us, there's a future, there's a hope. These faithful in the Old Testament, they saw into the future, they saw the promise of God, and they were persuaded, and they embraced, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. It says, for they that say these things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Praise the Lord. They have that vision before them. They had that hope of heaven. They had that hope of a better country. They were not living for this time, but they were living for the time to come. But God was their God, and God was not ashamed to be their God. And he had a place prepared for them. He had prepared for them a city. And we know that God has done that for us today. He has prepared us a mansion in heaven. He's prepared us a home. He's prepared us a place. And we have that focus before us, and we have that vision before us. We find courage to go on. We find courage in the difficult situations of life. We know it's not going to always be this way. We know this life is going to pass, and we can look forward to being with him in heaven. Another scripture heaven says in Peter, said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When you greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye believe, in whom, though now for a season ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's the joy that we can have today. It's because of that which we cannot see. It's because of that which we know. We know it's going to be, but we can't see it today in our little eyes, but we know it's there. We know it by faith. We know that God has provided for us a salvation. He's provided for us a home in heaven. He's provided for us everything that we stand in need of for the future. We don't have to worry about the future. We can walk with him knowing that he's going to take care of us. He's going to carry us through. He's going to make the way. He's going to pave the way. He's going to take us all the way as we keep our eyes on him, as we keep our vision before us, so we're not distracted by the pressures and the distractions of life. But our faith is out there. Our vision is up. Our vision is focused. When our vision is focused on him, our vision is focused on that which is to come. You know, the world and life can be very disheartening at times, but we cannot focus on those kind of things. In the Old Testament, in Numbers, we have the story of the children of Israel. I like the story. It says it's where the mixed multitude, it says they fell a-lusting. The children of Israel, well, they were in the wilderness, and things weren't going too well. They were having struggles there in the wilderness, and it says some of the people, they says they fell a-lusting. It said the children of Israel also wept again. They said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Then it says this. It says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. We remember back there in Egypt, we had food to eat. We had fish. Another place it says we remember the flesh pots and the bread that we could eat to our fill. You know, they had meat, they had steaks, and they had roasts, and they had fish, and they had turkey and chicken. I don't know what all they had. They had plenty to eat. They could eat to their fill. And here they are in the wilderness. And it says, here we are, our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. This manna. They have manna in the morning. They have manna every day. Manna day after day, they had manna. And they were getting so discouraged with this manna. Says this manna, says the only thing we have before our eyes. See, all they were focusing on was that which was right before their eyes. They didn't have their focus. They forgot about the promise that God gave them. They forgot about the promise of a land flowing with milk and honey. God had promised Moses to take the children of Israel to a land that was great, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land of promise, a land of opportunity, a land of great provision. But they forgot all about that. All they could see was this manna right before our eyes. All we can see is what's right in front of our eyes, what's in front of our face. And it gets discouraging. It's frustrating. They were discouraged, and all they could think about was what was right here and what they had back there. Another thing they forgot about was their cruel taskmasters and their slavery and their bondages that they were in back there. They weren't thinking about that. All they could think about was the food. All they could think about was the food that they had back there. They weren't thinking properly. They weren't thinking about the freedom that is promised to them when they get to the land of Canaan. They weren't thinking about the blessings and the prosperity that lied before them. They were thinking about, right now, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for fish. I'm hungry for fish right now. I want what I had back there, those good things of life that we had back there, the fish and the cucumbers and the leeks and the onions. Their soul was drawn away. It was drawn away from the joyful anticipation that God had set before them, the blessings and the glories that God had provided for them, had planned for them. God had all this planned for them, and all they could think about was their sad situation right here now. Even the miraculous way that God provided the manna for them wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. They were tired of it. It was boring. It was just the same old, same old, same old, day after day after day, and they just couldn't take it anymore. They were hungry for fish. They were hungry for steaks and roasts, and they wanted something that tasted good, something that felt good, something that made them feel good. This was what they were struggling with. But they lost their vision. They lost the vision that God had put before them. They lost the vision that God gave to Moses. This morning, in your life, do you ever get attracted to the things back there that you wish it was back there where it used to be? Back there the way it used to be. How it was so much better back there. And there's a temptation to just go back and throw up your hands and go back to the life of sin. Go back to the life of pleasure, the life or the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, with us, we forget the fact that back there's nothing back there that's going to satisfy. There's nothing back there that satisfies the soul. There's nothing back there that lasts. There's nothing back there that's going to fill a void of a hungry heart. We forget about those things. All we think about is the fleeting moments of pleasure we might have. And we get hungry for those things sometimes, but we forget that those things don't last. They're very false, very temporary, very poor satisfaction to our heart. It doesn't satisfy our soul. But Jesus is the one that satisfies. The devil comes and he tempts us with these fish and the leeks and the onions of our life. He tempts us to look back and look at those things and lust after those things again. But we need to refocus our vision again. We need to look up. We need to look forward. We need to realize that there's nothing that's going to satisfy. The only thing that's going to fill that void in our life is Jesus. Jesus is the only satisfaction of the soul. He's the only one that gives us peace. He's the only one that gives us joy. He's the only one that gives us eternity, a future, gives us a hope, a future. He gives us a vision for that which is for all of eternity. Our only fulfillment is in Jesus. Nothing this world has to offer will satisfy that hungry soul, but Jesus will. Jesus saves, Jesus keeps, Jesus satisfies. He provides for the every need of our life. He has a mansion in heaven for each one of us where we can dwell with him. We can worship him forever and ever and ever, where there is love, joy, and peace forever and ever and ever. Are you joyfully anticipating that day? Are you looking forward to that day? Are you focused on that day? Or are you bogged down with the circumstances around you? Are you bogged down with difficulties in life? Are you bogged down with lusting and wondering after things that are not going to satisfy you? You know they're not going to satisfy you, yet it just feels good to think that it would be nice to be back there where it used to be. The devil tries to make us believe that, but there's no hope there. There's no hope there. There's no future there. There's no peace there. There's no satisfaction there. In Luke, Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In another place in Luke, it says about to remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? God told her not to look back, but she came out of the city. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Remember that it's not good to look back. To look back at those things that we came from. To look back at those things that we once were. God doesn't want us looking back. He wants us looking up. He wants us looking forward. He wants us looking to him. He wants us to be looking forward with joyful anticipation of that which is before us. No matter what our circumstances in this life. No matter how hard it might get. No matter what situations might come into our life, we know that there's a better day ahead. We know there's a bright life. There's a bright spot for us. There's a life. There's an eternity with him. There's a love, joy, and peace forever and ever. Remember Lot's wife. Looking to Jesus. Remember, here it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him has endured the cross, despised the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, for consider him. Consider him. That's what we need to learn, how to focus our life on considering Jesus. Take time and think about him. Think about what he went through for you. Think about where he left his throne in heaven, came down into this earth, became like a sinful man, became like unto man, and took sin upon himself. He took our sin upon himself. He was suffered, he was ridiculed, he was falsely accused, he was abused, misused. He experienced a whole lot worse than what you and I ever have. Consider him, and he did it for me and for you. He did it for each one of us. Consider him. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. It says, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. So if we become weary and faint in our minds today, consider Jesus. Dwell on him. Meditate on him. Think about him. Think about what he went through for you and for me. Think about what he suffered. Think about what he endured. Think about what he sacrificed, what he gave up in heaven to come down to earth, to endure, to take upon himself the sin of the entire world. He shed his blood there on Calvary's cross. He suffered. He was misused. He was abused. He was slain there on the cross, a shameful death. A shameful death for you and for me, that we can have our sins forgiven, that we can have a hope in heaven. We have a mansion in heaven prepared for us where we can experience eternity, love, joy, and peace forever and ever and ever. Let's never look back. Let's never be drawn to the things back there. Those things, let them where they are. Let them under the blood. You know, that's one thing. God has an ability to forget. That's something you and I don't really have. We have memories, and it would be nice if we could forget some things. I wish I could forget some things. I wish I had the choice to forget. But you know, God does that. God says he will remember them no more. He remembers our sins no more. He doesn't remember those things back there anymore. That's something unique about God. We need to remember, we need to know that God, he remembers our sins no more. And we need to turn our back to those things too, because God has wiped them away. God has forgiven us. God has wiped them away, taken them away. And we don't need to be bogged down by that kind of thing. We don't need to allow our sins to come up before us again, because they're under the blood. They've been washed away, and God has forgiven us and has forgotten them. And we can go forward with freedom because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice of Calvary.